B-Pod Studios.
This. Yay! Have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crank enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
Lamar Jackson has continued to do things that have led people to celebrate how special an individual he is and unique a quarterback he is. Shotgun snap, looking middle of the field, under pressure, ball is stripped. Chenna Nwosu diving for it. There is a scrum. It looks like the Chargers may have it. We'll see. Charger ball! Charger ball! The Bolts are going to win in Baltimore.
And they're headed to New England. It's Agenda Free Friday. It's brought to you by our friends at the Bernardi Auto Group. I want to thank them again for joining us here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the Felger and Maz Show. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life. Again, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Sponsors, Agenda Free Friday. Christopher Gasper, L. Gasper, L's for Lee.
Christopher Lee.
Joins us here in our Town Fair Tire Studio. He is so fancy that he's brought to you by Mass General Hospital. MGH brings you Christopher Gasper. Hi, Christopher. How are you?
Hey, what's going on? How you guys doing?
Good, you?
Just peachy.
How you guys holding up?
Oh, it's been a great week.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed it.
That's good.
It's been fun. Pats fans are all sensey. Murray's all pissed.
I've called it hate week.
Oh, it totally is. Oh, yeah, I know.
The media's gotten all sensitive, like, you know.
This is your kind of week, Felger.
Oh, yeah. You're
in your element.
Someone has the audacity to say that Brady's 41. And, what do you mean he's 41? He's not. He's really 29. Like, everyone
that Bleacher Report story did have some holes in it.
Yes, I'm sure. It mortally offended you. So it's a great, great, great week all the way around. I've enjoyed the crap out of it. So much so that I'm willing to take the hit and be wrong on the Chargers just to get another week of this. Because I do enjoy this. How do you feel about the game? Give me your leadoff thought.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, what do you trust more? Do you trust the Patriots to, when it really counts, to be able to find their best football and revert to being the Patriots we know and love, but we haven't really seen that much this year? Or do you trust that the Los Angeles Chargers have been able to wring the San Diego out of them and that they are a different team and that a 4-1 record in games that have been decided by 3 points or less and their ability to win these close games and go on the road and win these tough environments and pretty much not be the Chargers and sort of strip themselves of some of what I like to call the Schottenheimer DNA.
Yep.
Like, that's all real. Which of those two things do you trust more?
The second thing, the Charger thing.
You trust the Charger thing?
I do.
See, I don't. I think the Chargers are the better team. I mean, they have 7 Pro Bowlers. They have more talent. I think they've been more consistent this year. And
they have a better record.
Yes.
We can just start with that.
They do. But I think I see this as a game where they're up, like, you know, 21-13 or something in the fourth quarter, and then they just charger it up. Like, it's and they've done it this year. And I wrote about this week. They would be the number one seed in the AFC playoffs if they hadn't blown this game at home in that terrible stadium against the Denver Broncos with clock management malpractice
what
of the worst kind. It was in November. I actually was out there for Thanksgiving, and it was like that Sunday. So I want to say it was the bye week for the Patriots. They were up late in the game. Denver had used all its timeouts, 2:30 to go, 2nd and 3. Phillip Rivers turns to hand off. They're up at this point in the game. They're up 22-20 because they had, of course, missed an extra point. Badgley had missed an extra point. They're up 22-20, 2:30 to play, 2nd and 3. Rivers goes to hand off to Gordon. Gordon goes the wrong way, loss of 4. Next play, you know, they're fine. It's still okay. Next play, Rivers audibles to a screen pass. Von Miller sniffs it out. So all Rivers has to do is take the sack, and here goes another 45 seconds off the clock. Nope. Drills it into the ground for an incomplete pass. The Broncos kick the game-winning field goal with 3 seconds left on the clock. And even last week, that game against Baltimore, what they did you guys see the guy, Aaron Eckler, go down when he had the first down?
Yes, of course.
On the wrong side of 5 minutes because he thought it was going to keep the clock running.
Right.
Right? He didn't realize that even if he went out of bounds and picked up that first down, they'd run the clock again, that it doesn't freeze until the next snap, until you're under 5 minutes. That type of stuff, you're not going to get away with that against the Patriots. I'm sorry.
And you think
they're
revert.
Still the Chargers. Yeah, I think they will. I think they absolutely are going to charger it up, and that's going to be the difference. They'll be right there. They'll be in position. They will outplay the Patriots. They're the more talented team, and just charger it up. And Rivers is a gunslinger, and I don't care what he says. The fact he's 0-7 against Brady, he knows it. You know, this is sort of like, you know, Rocky 3 has like the picture of him or whatever, Rocky 4 of Brady up there. And there'll be some moment in that game where instead of being the game manager he needs to be, And by the way, I think Belichick totally knows this about this guy, and he's going to bait him into it the same way he baited, you know, Mike Martz in Super Bowl 36 into doing stupid stuff. They're going to bait him into some stupid throw, some hero throw that he shouldn't make, and he's going to make it. I just don't have faith that the Chargers have really changed their stripes.
I don't have faith in you.
I want to pick them. I've said all year, I think they're the best team. They're the most talented team. But it really became solidified for me last week when I watched them try and blow that game against Baltimore. And the plays that they made, the way they lost focus.
So, Chris, I understand.
They're going to do it.
And I'm not taking it away from you because they did what they did. But at least this year, you have on the other side of it.
Yeah.
9-0 away from home.
Oh, yeah, they're mentally tough.
4-1 in 3-point games.
Yeah. And those games, they came from behind. See, they're better when they have to come from behind because then they have nothing to lose, Mike. Protecting a lead, they're going to charger it up.
Okay, they have five. They've wins in five different time zones. Like, you know, even the 06 Chargers who were, you know, great.
Oh, that team was phenomenal.
Loaded.
They were stacked.
Now, that team was as good as you think the 03, 04 Patriots were.
So
team was loaded.
Okay, I'm not going to get drawn into that. That's a diversion because they're not. The 06 Patriots beat them, never mind the 03 or 04 Patriots, okay? So the 03 or 04...
If you flip the coaches in that 06 game and we were both there, the Chargers would have won by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I know, but so I'm not flipping the coaches, though. I mean, we have that coach. That's the way that goes. 03, 04 would have pounded that Chargers team. They weren't physical enough.
Brady would have been at his back all game, like he was in 06, but go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. Now I forgot what I was going to say because you distracted me with that.
Yeah, that's what I do.
What was I going to say? Okay, so they blew the clock once, and they've also won in every tough building almost there is to win in the league.
Yes.
And they've come behind in the biggest spots and gone on the road. They've won in five different time zones. So, you know, I could say the same thing about the Patriots. I mean, they've got how much? You've got 30 seconds on the clock.
Yeah, you get
and
the Miami game.
And no timeouts, and Tom Brady's with the ball in field goal range, and instead of clocking the ball or chucking out of the back of the end zone, he takes a sack. So they blew that one. And on the last play of the game, they put a tight end. I mean, I could find four or five instances where the Patriots did that. Now, I mean, I'm clearly giving the Patriots a check mark in terms of tough, fundamental football and that, but I don't know. I feel like this is a different Chargers team. I do. But it really starts with, I would have picked the freaking Texans. Thank God I don't have to. But I would have picked anyone because I don't believe in the Patriots. I don't think they've established it this year at any point. I think the Chargers have established it.
Well, because the Patriots haven't. And so, look, you know, to me, this is one of those things where, you know, we've talked about it all week. You pick for the Patriots just because you don't believe in the Chargers or, like, you know, it's not because you believe in the Patriots.
Or it's the travel, or it's the weather.
Right.
So it's like all these other reasons, then who's the better team?
Sure, and I agree. Look, the Los Angeles Chargers are the better team. But here's what I'd say to the point that you guys are making. This time of year, and we've seen this so many times, games are lost more than they're won. And I think the Chargers are still the type of team that will lose the game. And to your point about their record and these close games and the games that they've won, the game against Pittsburgh and Kansas City, the common denominator there is they got in situations in those games where they were behind and had nothing to lose. If they're here, and I do think they're the better team, which is why I think they will have the lead, and they will have to protect the lead, and I don't think they can do it.
Okay. Well, that'll be fun to watch either way. Football matchup, like X and O on the field. What are you looking at?
I think, you know, the key for the Patriots, there's a couple of keys for the Patriots, but I talked about this last week when I was on with you guys, the fact that they were higher in the run rankings than the pass rankings, that they averaged, you know, they were number 5 in the NFL in rush offense, which is their highest since 1983, and they were number 8 in the passing game. And I'm still not sure that they can really run the ball. And I would expect the Chargers to come out. It's probably not 7 DBs, but the Chargers are really banged up at linebacker. They had to put Jatavis Brown on IR. I would think it would be 6 defensive backs. And they're going to dare those guys to run. They're going to say, prove to us that you can run and that you can get it done. Because this isn't the Jets and this isn't the Bills. They have a good front. The Chargers are a good defense. So I think the Patriots are going to have to be able to run the ball. And the Patriots have struggled in the red zone. Overall in the red zone, they're 15th in the league. They were 3rd in the league last year in touchdown percentage. Very unusual for the Patriots not to be a good red zone team. And the Chargers are a very good red zone defense. They're top 5. They're 5th in the league. And so that could be where the game is won or lost ultimately. Can the Patriots get the ball in the end zone when they need to get the ball in the end zone? Or are they just settling for field goals the whole time?
Chris, when you say the Patriots offense ranks higher rushing than passing, you're talking about yardage?
Yeah, well, not total yards, but their rankings. Where do you rank in the league? So they have the fifth rated.
Based on what, though?
It's based on yards per game.
It's based on yards per game.
Okay.
But if you do the raw math, obviously it's more passing yards per game.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the ranking is based on yardage.
Yes, correct.
Because yards per attempt, the Patriots rushing offense in the middle of the league.
And that's what Bill looks at. I mean, it's a more but Chris's point, I think Chris's point is still germane. They've run the ball more than they have in the past and relied on it more than they have in the past.
They have, yes, correct.
I don't think they're particularly great at it. I mean, as the yards per attempt would tell you, they're more towards the middle of the pack.
Yeah, average.
And that's the number Bill looks at. But either way, I still think it's a thing to do this week, or to at least start with.
You're going to have to do it, and you'll have play action, and that will open it up. And then you see, you know, what those matchups are, and can you freeze those safeties that are playing, like Adrian Phillips, who will be playing linebacker? Can you do that? It's interesting from a Chargers standpoint, because what do you do? I mean, if I'm the Chargers, honestly, I probably would come out and play a lot of man defense and, you know, prove it to me that Philip Dorsett or Chris Hogan can beat me and get open. The problem with that is if I don't have six DBs on the field, I could end up with a running back matched up with somebody that I don't want to match up with. I could end up with James White in a matchup. Like, even James White against, like, Adrian Phillips, like, I still think that's advantage Patriots, even though it's a safety. And so that's the issue. So I'm curious how much confidence Gus Bradley and the Chargers have in their safety group, Jahlil Adai, those guys, to try and cover the running backs. Because if they have confidence in that, then I just play man and say, make these other guys beat us.
Okay, your thoughts with Gasper. I know I also want his opinion on what's going on with the Celtics and the shoving match on the Celtics bench last night in Miami. We'll get his thoughts on that. Also, Brady spoke today. A comment that he made today stood out to Maz. We'll get to that with your calls right after this.
Younger and Maz, the Sports Hub. Felger and Maz.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What makes this year different than?
What makes this team this year kind of the feeling without different than maybe the last couple of years?
I'm not sure. This is a, you know, unique team. You know, it's not going to be the same next year. Just going to have to make the best of it.
Huh. I see what you mean, Maz.
It's the last line.
What was that?
It's the last line. Again, what makes this team this year different from the last couple of years?
Let me hear it again, Jimmy, for max impact. Just the answer. What makes
I'm not sure. Yeah. This is a, you know, unique team. You know, it's not going to be the same next year. Just going to have to make the best of it.
Just going to have to make the best of it. You know when you say, just going to have to make the best of it?
When you lose. Yeah, when you're unhappy.
Right, when you're not very good. Yeah. That's when you say it. Like, well, you know, it kind of is what it is. We'll just do the best we can.
Quite a comment.
It really is. Like, I heard that and I went, whoa, can I change my pick?
Yeah, when you were reading it before he heard it, I immediately thought one of two things. One, it signifies that Gronk is going to be gone. Or two, you know, Tom's thinking, oh, what stiffs is Bill going to bring in next year? Who's going to be next year's Danny Shelton or bum on the line that's going to end up being a healthy scratch for three straight weeks because he can't help me win another championship?
I mean, it's I'm just going to have to make the best of it.
I'm not sure. This is a, you know, unique team. You know, it's not going to be the same next year. Just going to have to make the best of it.
But I think it's more about Gronk. It's that last line, just make the best of it. It means that Gronk's done.
Well, and I think what it tells you is deep down, he doesn't believe in the team. Like, just going to have to make the best of it?
Weird comment.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to make you dinner. Well, we don't have all the groceries.
No, we'll make the best of it.
We'll make the best of it.
Just going to have to make the best of it.
You know, we'll send it to McDonald's or pizza or something if we have to. Like what the hell is that? Just going to have to make the best of it? What does he mean by that? Like, I hear that and I go, whoa. Can I call the bookie again and get my money back?
No, it's like, Jimmy, you know, Bedard didn't really give us anything again. He couldn't really speak into the mic clearly, but
just going to have to make the best of it.
We'll make the best of it. We'll figure it out. We'll put something together.
It is. It's a little alarming. You hear that? Like, it tells me he doesn't believe in the team. Deep down, and I've wondered this about Brady all year long, that coming out of games, he stands up there and just says, you know, we don't have it. We don't have it. But, you know, we're good, but we're not championship. And the question is, compared to the last couple of years, those were Super Bowl years. You didn't win last year, but you were in the game. And maybe Brady thinks they would have won if Malcolm Butler had played. And the year before, they did win. So, like, now he's comparing it to Super Bowl years. Well,
just going to have to make the best of it.
It's almost like he wants to say, the last couple of years, this team... Like, it feels like, are you serious with that question? That's how I read the answer.
I mean, if he's really being, you know, if you gave him the sodium pentothal, you know, what makes this team unique, you know, compared to other years? It's not as good. I mean, that's basically, like, that's essentially what the answer would be. No, it's not as good. That's the difference.
All right, so, read into that as you will. Let's get to some calls here with Gasper.
We'll do the best that we can with these.
Yeah, we'll do the best that we can with these calls. Spencer in Georgia. Go ahead, Spencer.
Yeah. So are we victims of two people padding their stats? No one's going to reach the Super Bowls that they've gotten. It's, you know, we had Chill Bill playing games in the summer with the kids. Tom taking the summer off. Bill going to basketball games right before the Super Bowl. Are they just chasing Hallis? And, you know, is Bill chasing Hallis and Shula? Or
I don't think. Well, but I mean, you're right to talk about what they're putting into it now versus what they used to put into it, especially with Brady and last year. I think that's fair. Bill, and even Bill, sure, add him to the list. Like, do they approach it with the same hyper, you know, nutty focus that they did in past years? That's fair. So why are they still here? I think Brady's here because he's building his brand. I think this is a play for his brand. If you ask me what's the most important thing to Tom Brady right now, it used to be the Patriots, and now I think it's TB12. I mean, his family, you know, obviously is one.
I mean, I do think he generally still loves playing the game. I mean, I think that's – like, I'm not really sure. You're right about the brand stuff, but I don't think he wants it to end. Like, he enjoys this.
And sure, if I were quarterback, I'd enjoy it too. That's a fun position. It's not – the grind isn't nearly what it is if you're another position player. I don't think he likes everything about football like he used to.
No, I would agree with that.
He clearly wants to fart around in Monaco versus go to camp in March.
No, I mean, who wouldn't? Monaco's great.
Exactly. Right. But there was a time where you couldn't get him out of there. You'd first one in, last one out. So I think it's fair to like bring that up, and I have brought that up. But why? I think Brady's here because he said in this the Chopra clip that we played that I want to do something no one else has done. Well, he's already done it. He's already done what no one else has done. So what are you talking about? And what he's talking about is doing this at 42, 43, and why? Well, that really proves the TB12 method. Why is Bill still doing it? I think he's doing it because it's a great freaking job. He makes a boatload of money. He controls everything. He doesn't need to brush his hair or speak into the mic or, you know, do anything. He doesn't have a boss, hardly. You know, and when the boss asks him to do just a little thing, it's like, you know, he's his kids work with him. He gets
I think that's a big one.
He gets to go
getting
to work,
them established.
He gets to go to work every day with his kids. That's great. Who wouldn't want that? He's close to his places in Nantucket. In Nantucket, he's got his hot wife, you know, right? He's all set. Like, what's to, it's a great gig. Why would you ever give it up? That's why I think he's still here. And he wants to win, of course. But that's why I think they're here. But are you getting less out of those guys? Or are they both putting less into it? I think it's a fair question to ask.
I think it's a fair question to ask. I mean, it probably, they're putting a little bit less into it than, you know, they did in the beginning of it. But I think that's sort of natural. And I'm not sure it's like just this year that it's a little bit less. Now, obviously, this offseason was different. But I thought that this offseason had more to do with sort of the Cold War between Brady and Belichick than Brady pretty much being like, oh, I don't, you know, I'm not going to dedicate time to this. It was more like, look, I'm not going to give up time with my family for this if you're going to treat me like this.
Yeah, I think it's all...
I think it was more that than I don't care anymore. And I think this offseason, I've said this, it's just my opinion, I think he's going to be at all this stuff.
Good. I hope. And like, when I'm... And so, I, you know, people say, well, you think those 3 days are going to matter? I'm not just talking about those 3 days. You know, the passing camp's 3 days, but the program starts... you know, he missed the whole thing. Phase one, phase two, phase three, missed all of it. And he didn't do the thing in Montana with his receivers. Like, he, you know, across the board, he didn't do what he did. So I need to see that again.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Here we go. Joe in Rosendale on that Celtics thing last night. Go ahead, Joe.
Boys, I'm going to make the best of my Friday tonight. You know, I'm going to go out and have a couple beers, you know, maybe callus my brain with some Alex Guerrero concussion powder. But that's not the reason I called. I called about – I want to call because I think you guys are – being a little easy on Jason Tatum there, because he's just as much of a diva as Jaylen Brown. This guy's throwing up shots like he's Kobe Bryant, driving to the lane, throwing his hands up at the ref, looking for fouls like I do when my wife won't let me lay on top of her. You know, this guy's a diva just like the rest of them. I wish Marcus Morris choked out Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum like Dr. J and Larry Bird did back in the day. Okay, they both need it.
Okay, to me, here's the difference, though, is that, you know, Tatum's got elite talent and his offensive game is, you know, almost there, if not there. Jaylen Brown isn't there yet offensively, and he should be playing a role. That's the guy who should be hustling back on D and being a tough defender and rebounding and running the floor in that. So that should be Jaylen Brown's role right now. What's your take on what happened last night on the bench?
You know, I think it's indicative of a team that's riding the roller coaster too much. You know, that's what we do, right? Media, fans, we do that. But I feel like the Celtics as a team, they ride the emotional roller coaster way too much. You know, they win a couple of games in a row. They're great. You set a season high in points against Indiana. And the quotes after the game, it sounds like they have it all figured out. And then they lose a game like this, or the Milwaukee game. And then it sounds like, you know, everybody wants off the team and they're the worst team in the league. I just don't think that they really have a lot of consistency or really great leadership. That's my main takeaway. Like, I don't think there's great leadership on this team, because if there is, you're not riding the emotional roller coaster the way that they are. And it seems like there are a lot of guys who were obviously frustrated. I think the leader on this team needs to be Stevens, like Greg Popovich style, because I don't think you have the leaders in the locker room that guys are going to follow. Like, you can't be a leader if no one's following you.
Among the players, who do you point the finger at?
Among the players, I would probably, I mean, I think Kyrie obviously has to be up there. I just don't
think
he's a natural leader.
Not in terms of, you know, who should be the leader, but who's causing the problems? Is it fair to point the finger at Jaylen Brown and Jason?
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think it's, here's the thing I would say. I do think there's an issue on this team where some of the older guys sort of feel like they have it all figured out. And to me are almost, I don't want to say hazing, but I think they're taking it a little too far. I mean, again, we've talked about it on the show before. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were a big part of getting to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, these guys aren't rookies, and they're not like unproven scrubs in the NBA. So you can certainly make your point. But you know, Jimmy and I were talking about this before I came on the show. If I'm Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, and Marcus Morris or Marcus Smart comes to me and talks about personal responsibility and accountability, I'm going to listen to two of the most volatile players in the league who would just pop off whenever they feel like it, and if there's an issue, they're trying to fight guys and
okay,
they're getting texts. I'm going to listen to that and say, you're the guy that's going to hold me accountable.
As opposed to what? A guy doing an interview with a woman and telling her that he's going to have 5 titles by the time he's 28?
Because he liked her dress?
No, that was a bad look for Jaylen, but I don't understand how. I don't think those two things are
comparable. But here's my point. Like, let's just keep it to last night for a second, because there's a leadership problem, Chris. There's no problem. I mean, there's no question there.
Yeah.
There's a leadership problem. There's an absence, a void there. Marcus Morris doesn't have the right to tell Jaylen Brown, get your ass back on defense?
No, he absolutely does. He does. He does. But again, Jaylen Brown was on the team last year, and Jimmy, back me up on this. Did Marcus Morris do everything the coaching staff wanted him to do last year? Was he the consummate, ultimate teammate last year?
He was.
Were there issues?
Coming from a starting position as a member of the Detroit Pistons.
Well, Chris is hearing something different, so why don't you tell us what you know.
He
was bitching about wanting to be in the starting
five.
Yeah,
he was complaining about not being in the starting five.
Went out there and did what the coach asked, which is what he's doing this year, and that's why he's starting this year.
He's always played hard, but the acceptance of the role last year, I don't think it was super smooth.
This team's got
And Jaylen Brown is just going out there and trying to get his own spots in and score 30 points a night when the coach wants him to be a lockdown defender.
I think that's
totally
fair.
And Jaylen Brown won't do it because that doesn't get Jaylen Brown to the pay window, in his opinion.
I think that's totally fair, and Jaylen Brown deserves criticism for that. But I think that's a criticism you can latch onto a lot of guys on this team. Like, one of their overall problems, I'll tell you, Steve Bulpet in the Herald had a column that went up, you know, like 5 minutes before I went on. He talked to Ainge about this incident. And the big takeaway for me, you know, Ainge downplayed the whole thing. But you know the thing he did talk about? The fact that too often with this team, their defensive effort and focus is tied to whether the ball is going in the basket.
Yes.
And that's not just a Jaylen Brown problem. That's a Boston Celtics problem.
Okay, we're late. Vinny at the simulcast, good job. Any excuse, Vin, you know what I'm talking about. Here comes the update with Murray.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Fourth down and 5. Direct snap to Brady. Stands in the pocket, fires, intercepted at the 30-yard line, and taken down, and a fumble on the interception, and let's see who has it, down at the Charger, 32, the Patriots have it.
Yes.
It was intercepted and then fumbled by San Diego. The Patriots recover the fumble at the Charger 31. That's a change of possession, first down, Patriots.
Remember that one from 2006?
Of course.
Marlon McCree, I had forgotten till I just heard it. Was it 4th and 5?
It was a 4th down throw. 4th down, and he intercepted. Brady got intercepted.
Not only should McCree not only did McCree not hold on to the ball and he fumbled it back, he never should have caught it.
Yeah, they would have gotten better field position.
I forgot about that. I mean, I was there. I covered the guy. I forgot it was fourth freaking down.
Yep.
So we're reliving some of the past Patriots Chargers stuff here. The last today, and you know, it's really just two of those two in 06 and 07 back to back.
So I have to walk down memory lane.
Go ahead.
Do you remember? So they end up scoring the touchdown on that, but to tie the game, they needed a 2-point conversion.
Was it the direct snap
yes.
to Falk?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, but fourth. Oh my God! So like, what a horseshoe up your ass you had that year. In that game anyway, it ran out. You know, in Indy the next week. But anyway, we all remember that. Let's do this, Chris. I know you always enjoy talking to Daniel on the South Shore, so he
yes,
joins us next.
Sure, hi, Dan. Yes. Hey, Danny.
Well, all I can say is way to go, Tom Brady, for sucking all the leading up to the game enthusiasm that I had. You just blew it away from me. I mean,
that comment.
You know, the leading up to the part is the greatest part because I woke up this morning and they didn't lose. I'll wake up tomorrow. They won't lose tomorrow or Sunday. I mean, once Sunday night comes, we're either going to be in sports depression and it's going to be over, or we're going to be happy.
Well, Danny, I'll tell you what, I hear it too. Like, oh, can't we just play the game, kick it off? Like,
no.
Oh, I can't. No. Take all the time you need because when you're
take
done,
all the time.
It's
you don't
February.
Want to rush it, man, like, because then you'll be wishing you could rewind the clock if
exactly.
they lose.
I'm with you.
Okay. But, anyways. I'm going to give you one, Gasper, on the Chargers, too. Pittsburgh game, they had no business winning that game. They scored a touchdown on a false start, a blatant false start that didn't get called, and a block on the back on a punt return.
That's true.
Might have been a kickoff that didn't get called. They never should have won the Pittsburgh game. But anyways, I'm worried about our field goal kicker. This guy's missed 5 field goals this year. He missed an extra point, and I mean, and I don't know, does Brady have to get the ball down on the 20-yard line? I mean, forget a 50-yarder, and they may need a 50-yarder. I mean, the wind's going to be light out of the north. That's out of the that's out of the open end, the lighthouse.
Well, Danny, no.
Danny Schwegler.
No. Well, Danny's a captain. He's on the water. He should know wind. Tell me how many miles per hour is the wind going
to
be?
How many knots is that going
to
be?
5 to 10 miles per hour out of the north.
That's nothing.
But I don't know if it gets fun. There's a full factor that comes through that open end of the stadium. I don't think it may add.
No. Okay, so listen, kicking into the lighthouse end is an issue. There's no question about it. But I'm more, to me, it affects the passing game. If it gets blowing really good, that's a big advantage for the Patriots.
Okay, but you're not worried about the field goal kicker then?
I am, absolutely. He misses a big kick every one of these big games.
And the only other thing that bothers me, too, is the kickoff coverage. I don't know where they rank, but I remember the Tennessee game. They took the opening kickoff down to the 40-yard line, Tennessee, that is, and they scored on that opening. Before I could sit down, it was 7-0.
All right, so let me just stop you.
Allow stuff like that to happen. They're not good enough to...
Okay, sorry, my computer froze.
If I saw it this morning. They're like 25th or 27th in the league in kick coverage.
Their kick coverage has sucked all year.
Been garbage.
Okay, and so if you're kicking it, so even if at 5 to 10, the lighthouse end, the ball's may be coming up short. Keep an eye on that. Chris, your thoughts on San Diego signing this field, this kickoff specialist?
Rose.
Just for this game, is that panic or is that attention
to
detail?
No, I think it's attention to detail. Badgley's really struggled. I think he has like 9 touchbacks and 54
last in the league by far.
He's struggled
and
with
0
that.
For 6 last week in Baltimore.
And you know, that's sort of the hidden yardage and the hidden field position that could make a difference in the game. If anything, I think it's attention to detail. It also, I think, to me, says that the Chargers feel like they match up well with the Patriots offense and that that yardage...
They're going to be kicking off a lot.
Yeah, that yardage could be the difference between the Patriots getting an opportunity to score points and not, and they want to take it away.
Yeah, Beadle and I stand alone then. It's dumb and desperate.
Oh, it's not dumb.
And if this guy was so good at it, why didn't he have a job?
Oh, please.
As if Bill did this, you'd be like, oh, how stupid and desperate this is for the Patriots. Bah! I'm taking the Chargers. I have the helmet on. Bah!
If Bill did it, you'd have your pants off, for crying out loud. Who are you kidding? It's the same idea.
Well, they're so banged
up. Worried because I'm always worried about idiot kickers at all levels.
I'll tell you this, to me, boy, the Chargers are leaving no stone unturned. They hire a guy for kickoffs, and Hunter Henry has practiced all week. They brought him off of, you know, IR after ACL surgery 8 months ago. Like, they are dusting off everybody they can to win this game. So it tells me that, A, they understand the opportunity in front of them, and B, boy, they are focused, man. They're on every detail.
Long commercial-free segment is next.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You can
get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, but I don't know how big of an advantage that is. I mean, yes, Belichick, you know, his history, all that stuff, decision-making, sure, he has an edge on Anthony Lynn. He has a couple good coordinators who have experience. They're not, you know, they're no rookies. But the big thing is I kind of lost my faith in the Patriots last year in the Super Bowl with all that. I mean, how long? They had 2 weeks to prepare for that game. How many times did we talk about that they're going to need to stop Zach Ertz on third and fourth down? And what happened in the game? They live with Zach Ertz, you know, and couldn't cover him. And, you know, the whole Malcolm Butler stuff, you know, I don't have the faith that's as big a difference maker as it was in the past. I don't think it is anymore. And the Super Bowl before. Last Super Bowl, couldn't stop the Eagles at all on offense. Didn't take out their go-to guy on third down, which used to be the Patriots' bread and butter. And the Super Bowl before, you fell behind 28-3.
Agenda Free Friday, that was Greg Bedard. Tuesday, saying he's lost some faith in Bill Belichick in these big games. Is that fair?
I think it's fair. Here's what I would say, and I've mentioned this before. I've come to the conclusion, he mentioned Super Bowls there. I've come to the conclusion over the last couple of years that the extra time benefits the other team because they can get accomplished in 2 weeks what Bill normally gets accomplished in one, and all the things Bill and his staff have been hiding all year long from a talent standpoint get exposed. And that's what I thought happened the last two times in the Super Bowl. So this isn't the same situation. The Chargers have 1 week. They don't have 2 weeks. The Patriots are the team with 2 weeks. I think the Super Bowl setup, as much as we think it's advantageous for the Patriots, it's not. It actually levels the playing field with the other team. But that's not what the setup is this week. So I agree with what Bedard's saying to a point, but I don't think it really has any bearing for this game. And also, it's the Chargers. I mean, come on.
Okay, I'll tell you what, though. The point that Greg makes, like about Zach Ertz's point, the first thing Belichick always does is take away your safety blanket. Right, he takes away your top option. On every third or fourth down, it felt like they went to Ertz. And the Patriots, they didn't take him out. It really is stunning. So, like, I look at this game now, Chris, and I say, who's the first guy that Bill will take out? I mean, I have an opinion. Do you?
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, I'd say probably Keenan Allen. But the other guys are good.
On top of the running back.
Well, Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon. God, yeah. I'm blank on the name. So but you start with Allen over Gordon?
Probably. I mean, it's interesting. You know, do you want to take away Rivers? I mean, are they going to come here? And I know the Patriots have been putrid against the run this year, but do you think the Chargers will come here with the game plan if we're just going to pound the rock?
I hope not. That's what they did last week.
I mean, even if they do you think Rivers is going to stick to that? I think there'll be some audibles if that's the game plan, particularly if they get behind.
Keenan Allen's the first guy I'd take away, too.
All right, so, Chris, if you're the...
Because he's really good on third down, too. He's a chain mover.
So we did a day on this where we said, you know, have you lost a little faith in Bill and Brady?
Yeah.
Not that you have no faith.
Sure.
But is it at the same level it would have been? Did the Eagles game sort of shake your confidence a little bit in Bill or some of the past games as Bedard?
The Miami game shook my confidence.
Okay, the Miami game. Or Brady's play this year. You know, if they've got to put 35 points on the board in this game on Sunday, what's your confidence level that he could do it? If last year it was 100%, is it at 80 now or not? You know, so it's probably come down a little bit for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maz then asked, what are you more concerned about? You know, the coaching or the quarterbacking in this game?
Oh, that's a good question.
Right, how'd you put it?
The way I put it was, do you have more confidence in the Patriots' ability to devise a game plan or execute it?
Devise.
Execute.
Really?
Execute. It's execute. You don't think Bill can come up with a good game plan?
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood the question. I thought it was, which one did I have more faith in? I was saying I have more faith they can devise it.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I have more faith they can devise it, less faith they can execute it.
Right, so you have more confidence in the coaching than you do in the personnel.
Yes.
Including quarterback.
Yeah.
There you go. Good job, Maz. Good job.
I mean, I would
the
go that far.
The witness is directed to
you know,
the
as the quarterback said, I mean, sometimes you just got to make the best of it, the best of what you got. I mean, you know, much you can do there.
What I want to know is the TB, is the T on your left butt cheek and the T on your right ass cheek, or is it when you're standing upside down?
Well, it depends, because I said I wanted to match yours. So where's the J and where's the G?
JG. Oh, the J's on my left cheek.
Okay, just checking. Just checking.
Speaking of that comment.
Well, that works out because both you and Jimmy G right now are sitting on your asses doing nothing.
Again, oh.
Just going to have to make the best of it.
Yeah, just got
to
make the best of it. That was Brady today when he was asked about his faith in this year's team and the difference between this year's team and last year's team.
Just going to have to make the best of it.
That was the comment. Bill in Pittsburgh has a thought on that. Go ahead, Bill.
I'm glad you guys picked up on that. That was the first thing I picked out. You got to make the best of it. If I'm his teammates or I'm Belichick, I'm ripping him a new, you know what. I mean, it's just like, okay, we're going to go into this game. We're going to try our best. And hey, oh well. I didn't get it. As media savvy as Brady is, I don't get it. And you guys tell me. Now, one other comment I have is Ted Washington was on here the other day, and he bluntly said, you know, basically how he was treated by Belichick. Now, how come we see these national media guys, Willie McGinnis and Teddy Bruschi, not saying a word about anything like that? And if they have, I apologize.
Because Bill liked guys.
They're part of the hyping on the video board at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, they're part of the...
Man, they still want access.
They're still in the circle of trust and part of the Patriots family, and they get access to the team, and also Bill treated them well. They paid, you know, he paid them. And did he pay Willie?
Willie had to go finish with the Browns.
Yeah, no, that's true.
You know, Teddy certainly got treated well.
Bruschi got treated well, but I think for the most part, they were Belichick guys. Ted Washington was here 1 year and Bill didn't pay him, and so Ted Washington's probably sore. Bill treats a lot of people poorly. You know, just, you know, newsflash. And that doesn't stop with players. So, you know, welcome to the club, Ted. So I don't care about these past guys whining about Bill. What else did he? What was the first thing that he said?
Well, he was just saying that, you know, based on what Brady said, that Belichick and his teammates should be ripping him.
So look, I don't want to get on because, like, we all say the wrong thing sometimes. You know, he's up there for 10 minutes, and so one line came out wrong. Like, I don't want to hold that against him because we all do that. I do that 10 times a day. However,
it's revealing though.
However, I mean, again, Jimmy, play the whole.
Just going to have to. Make the best of it.
Play the whole question and answer to you put in proper context.
What makes this year different than?
What makes this team this year kind of the feeling you have different than maybe the last couple of years?
I'm not sure. This is a, you know, unique team. You know, it's not going to be the same next year. Just going to have to make the best of it.
But you know, so
like, there's one thing about saying something wrong, and then there's like, the more you really peel that back.
I'm telling you, it's that last line. It's if he had just said, I'm not sure, it's a unique team, it's not going to be the same next year.
Well, but what he's saying is, we're going to be adding some stuff, right? Like, is that go ahead, Chris.
No, so I was just going to say, I'm curious there. The whole exchange, it seemed like he asked Levin Reed to repeat the question.
Yes, he did.
Did he? Because that's one of Tom's, like, time-honored, time-buying mechanisms.
What was that?
He will, like, buy time to think about the answer by asking you to repeat it.
Right.
So that's one.
What makes this year different than?
What makes this team this year kind of feeling without different than maybe the last couple of years?
I'm not sure.
No, yeah. You know what he wants to say? Well, first of all, those teams were better.
But it's like, so the past two teams went to the Super Bowl. He could easily say there, well, we're tough and we're, you know, we're together and we work hard and, you know, just give us that pablum, you know, instead of, I'm not
sure. Just going to have to make the best of it.
Just going to have to make the best of it.
But I thought, like, he was saying about.
Do you want me to bring the Charger helmet back in here, Maz, for you?
I'm telling you, I'm thinking about taking my pick back. I heard that comment. I went, holy crap, the quarterback doesn't believe in the team. This is like, now what? We're just going to have to make the best of it? I mean, look, we got a rookie running back who, when you get right down to it, he sucks and he blows.
Oh, no. Here we go. Oh, here we go again.
My best receiver can't stop smoking pot. Yeah, what?
He sucks and blows. I'll concur with you on that.
Thank you, Ted.
Linebackers who can't play a lick.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
My kicker's a puddle. He's been out in the stadium all week trying to. He's like Chevy Chase the night before that big bet where he's hitting off the Sensimilia grass. I have heard that. I've heard that Gostkowski's been out in the stadium this week kicking on his own.
I mean, have you guys.
Nut job.
Have you guys watched Hightower? I mean, he's done.
Can't
run. He sucks and blows. I'll concur with you on that.
Gronk's retiring. Jules has got a busted foot. Hogan never gets open. I don't know what he's talking about.
And Brady hates him on top of it.
Got a kick returner who thinks he's a real wide receiver and a real running back. I don't like him.
So, you know what?
Our coach is an a-hole.
Yeah. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to...
Yep, he sucks and blows. I'll concur with you on that.
No, what's Brady going
to
do, Jimmy?
Just going to have to make the best of it.
He'll make the best of it.
I'm telling you, it's unbelievable that he would say it that way. Like, you're going into a playoff game. What is it about this team that makes you unique?
Just going to have to make the best of it.
Well, no, first of all, I don't know.
We'll
I'm
give
not
it
sure.
A whirl. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Don't know who I'm going to go to on third and long, and got to have it because Danny Amendola, we couldn't bring him back because, you know.
Had to pay Adrian Claiborne.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that's a confidence-shaking remark.
Could have drafted another wide receiver, but no, you wanted to take the fat kid from Georgia who got hurt. Well, I guess I'll just have to make the best of it. I
just about forgot his name, Isaiah Wynn. Yeah. He's now just known as the fat kid from Georgia. I almost forgot the name entirely, but I do know the fat kid from Georgia. Poor guy. Just because he's a guard. Chris, how does this game go down?
You're just going to have to make the best of it.
Can I just say quickly, after hearing it again, and I don't want to spoil the fun and the award-winning radio, but I think he's actually talking about next year, like having to make the best of it next year. I'm not sure he's talking about this year's team.
Yeah, it sucks now. It's only going to get worse.
Why would he talk about next year?
Because then he came in and, you know, said it won't be the same team next year.
It's not going to be the same next year. Just going to have to make the best of it.
So I see. We're just going to have to maximize our opportunity right now.
No, I think he's saying, like, we're going to have a different team next year.
So let's make the most of it.
We'll have to make the best of that.
Yeah.
The different team.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
No, I prefer to talk
about
it.
Yeah, I know. Your way's much better.
We're way too far down the tracks.
You asked me how the game's going to go. I'm not sure. I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question? No.
How's the game going to go?
I think the Chargers will have a lead in the late third quarter, early fourth quarter, and then the Patriots will come back.
The Chargers
will fold in typical Charger fashion.
Give me your four winners this weekend.
Four winners. Okay. Patriots will win. I think the Chiefs will win. I like the Cowboys against the Rams. That defense is really, really good. And I think the Saints are going to blow doors on the Eagles. I think that long national nightmare, you know, will be over.
Okay. Thanks for coming in, Chris.
Good to see you guys.
See you, Chris.
We look forward to talking to you next week. Win, lose, or draw.
Just going to have to make the best of it.
Yes, we will. Tom, yeah. This final hour, we'll do all
I know how you feel, Tom. I know how you feel. Every Friday.
No commercials, just an update, and we're right back.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.